Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
All right, folks, we're going to listen to the door shut as Sean leaves. Did you hear that? It's the real deal. Mr. Curiosity.
Mickey.
Mickey had a look on her. He slammed it. That was fake anger. That's all that was.
Mickey's got to get used to working in a workplace filled with people.
Filled with, what do you mean by that?
She's been working with one photographer for...
It was just me and Tom.
One step at a time.
Well, all right.
Mr. Curiosity, this is the Brown Bag episode. Now, Nikki.
Joe.
Nikki Cries, John Meyer, Joe Snedeker.
Nikki. So she is joining us. Now, Mindy is on vacation.
She is.
Sean is the guy who just slammed the door. He's very busy. John Meyer is here. I am here. And this is being recorded on the 17th. And I am leaving for Gojo on Monday when this is out to the world. So this is going to be a great podcast. But we welcome you here with us. So you are our new morning edition. It's Nikki Cries. And we've already done a... If anyone wants a deep dive into Nikki, we did this a year, maybe 2 years ago, with your whole life.
We did.
So we're going to summarize your whole life in 5 minutes, and then we're going to get right to the brown bag.
Ready, set, go. Not really.
All right, Nikki, emerged from another human being in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
The year was, or don't you want to say, the bell is here. If anything makes you uncomfortable, you hit the bell, and that bell is saying, Snedeker, shut up.
I'm only 22, Joe.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
We'll stick with that.
So we'll leave it at that. She was born in 2002 in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
All right, so...
No, I don't care. I'm 41.
Okay, so you're born in what year is that?
82,
the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan president.
Yeah.
Does that make you Gen X or a millennial?
I'm a millennial, but I'm right on the cusp because millennial started in 1980.
I've heard your age group called the geriatric millennial.
Are you serious?
No.
I've actually heard that.
I am a geriatric millennial.
Well, there's an older group of millennials.
Well, let's just start with that then. Are you offended by being called a millennial? How do you feel it comes with a negative tag?
I used to make fun of millennials, like, oh, these millennials. And then someone said, well, you're actually a millennial. Your age group's like, oh, no.
I think they came up with geriatric because those born in the early 80s felt they were different from those born in the early
90s. Elder millennials.
Oh, well, you like that better?
Yeah, I like that better.
Because we're Gen Xers.
Yes.
What's the stereotype for millennials? A little what? I'm not going to say
it. Let's let Nikki do it.
I mean, at least the elder millennials, I was born in the age where, you know, internet was just coming up.
Okay.
But, well, I'm the Oregon Trail generation.
So you still remember doing that kind of stuff on the computer.
Yeah.
Oh.
But internet was just kind of coming around.
Sure, 91, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So you're 10, 11, 12. There's this new thing called the internet.
Yeah.
Whereas the younger millennials, that was their whole life from the start.
Yeah. Right.
And modern computers, too, not just Oregon Trail.
Right.
Well, I'm going to do a search right now while you keep talking. Millennial stereotypes. Let's see if Nikki has any.
Oh, good idea.
But I think the younger millennials are different from the older millennials.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I can see a difference.
Because Chris Keating, he's also considered a millennial, and he's younger than me. He's
quite a bit.
Yeah. But...
All right.
Here we go.
Keep going.
It was different.
Not as good work ethics, the millennials. Due to technology, not interested in earning or putting their time in. More knowledgeable about technology. A little sense of entitlement, a little self-centered. This is what it says on the web about your people.
I don't think that fits me, though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't fit
you.
Stereotypes fit everybody.
No.
It's just a very general thing.
Right. I think I have a pretty good work ethic.
And if that was your generation, oh my goodness, what about the...
What do they call them after millennials?
Gen Z.
And then the Zoomers or whatever. I don't even know what they're calling the latest. Talk about entitlement, right?
Oh
so.
Don't even get me started.
This brings up a deeper question. Is it possible, John Meyer, for... I don't think it is. For an older generation... to look favorably upon a newer generation. It's almost like it's built into our psyche. Always
and
frown
it's
on.
It has never happened.
It has never happened.
The older generation always looks at the younger generation. It's like, oh.
Yeah, so that might be the problem. And why is that woven into our DNA?
Because you know, when we were kids, Gen Xers, the World War II generation was like, these kids, they're not going to amount to anything.
Right. So I wonder what that is biologically. Why can't we embrace and look favorably upon youngsters, younger people? Why is that? I don't know.
But it does seem like that's just happened from generation to generation.
Yeah, no old generation has ever said, they're the best, man. These guys are going to be awesome. They're better than we were.
Because they're not.
Or maybe it's a continual downward spiral into Armageddon.
Speaking of spiral, we have spiraled quite a bit. Nikki introducing her new role here.
Yeah, so Nikki, you joined us here recently. Yes. And what do you think?
I mean, 3 days in, so far so good. Waking up at, I think you told me, Joe, that the first 5 minutes when you wake up are the hardest of the day.
It's hell on earth.
Yeah.
Absolute torture.
But then after that, I'm good.
I know, isn't it something?
Incredible. It really is.
And the good is worth the 5 minutes of torture.
Yeah, because I was thinking to myself the past couple of weeks, how am I going to do this? I've never been an early riser. But the past couple of days, I really like it.
Yes. I'm closing in on 25 years of this, so I forget what the previous life is like. Most people, you wake up, you have a quick breakfast, you go to work.
Yeah.
You come home from work, you eat, maybe work in something, but probably not, and then you get ready for bed.
And there's no time to do anything.
There's no time. I'm not even familiar with that world. Every day is like the weekend for me. It's torture to wake up, but if you're home by noon, let's count on our fingers. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You have 6-7 hours of fun.
I was at the pool yesterday.
There you go.
I picked up my son from my in-laws. We went to the state park, the beach, and we were there for 3 hours. And we wouldn't have done that in my previous life,
right?
Except on a Saturday or Sunday.
I think we have to change the world. Everything starts at 4 a.m. and ends around 12:01.
We have the right idea.
I'm telling you.
And Nikki, so you moved to this shift, and a lot of people, when I moved to this shift, said to me, is that a demotion?
They still think that.
Getting moved to an overnight shift might be a demotion, but this is something you wanted to do.
This is something new for you. You know, I needed a change. I was on that shift with Tom. Tom is great. Nothing against Tom, but I was on that shift for 12 and a half years. And I
Tom
was
Duran, your
out.
Photographer.
Yes, Tom Duran, my photographer. I was so burnt out.
You were. Now, what do you mean? Why? Just you felt like you're in a rut, you're doing the same stories, you're doing the same thing?
All of the above.
Okay.
I love Central Pennsylvania. I love the people of Central Pennsylvania. But, oh my gosh, it was just the same thing. It was like I was living in Groundhog Day every day. And what I like about being a reporter is it's something new every day. And I wanted to experience something that I haven't experienced before. There's a whole other half of our viewing area, places I've never even been to. Like today I did the Novena, and Andy Palumbo was saying, oh, I do stories there every year. I said, I've never even been there.
See, it's a new you?
Yeah.
And so, it's important to point out, because I don't think people realize it about this business, especially for reporters, it is really rare to do what Nikki's done. To do one reporting job in one beat, as we call it, in a certain location for 12 years. A lot of reporters come through here in a few years and move on, or you report and then you move up to an anchor job or things like that. You've been dedicated to Central Pennsylvania for a long time, probably the longest we've had anyone in Central PA.
Is that right?
So it makes sense you were looking for something new, and Joe and I definitely think we benefit from having Nikki now regularly with us every morning.
We're Nikki fans.
We're big fans.
Well, thank you. I'm Joe and John fans, too. But, you know, the morning show, when our boss offered that to me, and, you know, I was trying to figure out if it would be a good fit for me. At first, I was thinking, I don't think I can get up that early. The more I thought about it, I thought, the morning show has a wonderful reputation on WNEP, and I love being a reporter. I think it would be a really good fit for me.
You know, the first thought you had is, I don't know if I can get up that early. You know what that was? That was your millennial speaking. And what you have to do is shut that millennial down, okay? And say, I can do anything, and I'm going to work hard, and damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead.
And that was the elder millennial talking, shutting it down.
Good response.
That's funny. All right, so here you are. What if some force from the universe sent you this message? You will be working the morning shift at WNEP for the next 20 years of your life, and then you will retire and live happily ever after. Would that be good news?
I think so.
See, that's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Good.
If the first 3 days are any indication.
Yeah.
And you said about wanting something different, you know, that it's different. I think with what we see for reporters on this show, every day it can be different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things you can do with this job as a morning show reporter. And I can see why y'all like doing that.
Yeah.
Because you can do the hard news. If we have breaking news, you'll be on the scene. You can do fun stuff.
Yeah.
You'll be at the circus, and they'll have you on the high wire.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And let's tell her all the good things that maybe she didn't think about yet. Okay. No traffic.
No traffic.
No traffic. There's no traffic in the middle of the night when we're coming in. And even when you leave at 11, 12, 1, there's no traffic.
Okay.
And another thing. Well, depending on, I was going to say, if you have a family in the future, you get alone time in the afternoon. Ooh, because everyone's at work.
So Mindy calls Friday almost like a school's out for summer feeling every Friday because we're done at 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like you get a 3-day weekend every weekend.
Okay.
That's another big benefit you will experience this week. Now, we got to go to bed early on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
But by that point on a Sunday, no one's doing anything anyways.
Yes.
It's wind down time anyways.
Yeah.
Right.
So you just go to bed.
And here's another one. And I'm going to be politically correct, but I ain't politically incorrect, but I know John's going to agree with me deep down inside, but he won't admit it. You use work and your weird shift to get out of so many things. Holidays. Obligations. I'm sorry, I can't go to your blank. I have to get to bed to wake up at 3 in the morning.
You know, I like the way you think. I'm going to use that.
Yes! I've been
all
up
I'll
since
say
two...
is he might be on to something.
I've been up at 2:30. I've been up since 2:30 in the morning. Feel bad for me. I can't attend your event. I'm sorry. It's perfect.
A good excuse.
All right, we do this thing called Brown Bag Monday. If you got questions, folks, it's brownbag@wnep.com, brownbag@wnep.com. News questions, gossip questions, relationship advice.
Everything.
Science questions, weather questions. Why is John Meyer so tall? Personal questions. It could be anything. They are in here.
Oh, wait, but not everything. No bird questions. And no French.
No French drive words, and we don't accept compliments.
No bird questions?
No.
Oh my gosh, I forgot that.
We may have
to change this because she is a bird fanatic and you love your bird cinnamon and parcheesi.
Sugar.
Oh my gosh, Joe, what are we going to do? We have to allow bird questions
You have
now.
To allow bird questions now.
All right, only when you're on the podcast.
Okay, because I kind of remember you mentioning about cinnamon and sugar being morning show characters.
I think they've got to be part of the show.
Yeah, we have to do that.
Yeah.
Eventually we're going to work them in. And they are what now? Toucans? What are they?
Toucans.
Why is that funny, aren't they? I don't know what
they're
are.
Cockatiels.
I don't even know the difference. I'm the ornithologist, isn't it? It seems like all exotic tropical birds are the same.
They have personalities.
They do.
And we're going to make the morning show personalities somehow.
Yes. Somehow.
How you're going to get them to and from here, we'll figure out. But.
Somehow, some way.
Now, why was toucan insulting? Is that...
No, I thought it was funny because toucans are just wild birds.
And aren't they big?
They are big. Maybe someday I'll have a toucan.
Is a toucan from Fruit Loops? Is that the little bird?
Yeah.
Just checking.
Crows are amongst the most intelligent vertebrates with all the other animals on this planet. They're seen as very, they think, they make tools. They can thought process through acts to solve riddles. Crows, do you see this in your birds? Like most people just say bird brain, dumb. Do you see, because other birds
they're
are very
smart.
Simple, like turkeys or chickens. They're not too smart, but some birds are.
They're smart. Yeah, I think so. I mean, they don't do math problems or anything.
All right, but if John Meyer came to your house let's say you were taken away by aliens and you're in another universe, happy and safe. John Meyer now is replacing you in your bird's life. Would they know or care?
They would be horrified. No offense, but Cinnamon, the boy,
he likes everybody.
Sugar only likes me.
I don't believe
that. So they have personalities. They know. Like a dog or a cat or things like that.
They know.
Very distinct. They know me very well.
They would be upset that that you're gone.
Yeah.
Why don't I don't believe that.
Cinnamon likes
me. It's my ignorance.
I get mine too.
Sugar will not even go to anybody else except for me. My boyfriend will be there and she will.
Nothing. She's
nothing.
What if you bring treats?
Nope.
Wow.
No.
They are knowing.
Sugar loves you?
Sugar loves me. I'm her only person.
I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Yeah. They both love me.
Birds are that...
Yeah.
...reactive?
They're very smart.
More so than a cat?
I don't know much about cats.
You never had a cat?
I'm allergic.
Because I feel like cats are...
Careful. Careful.
I feel cats use their owners and they don't really care.
I tried.
I feel like anybody who has a cat out there, if you were replaced by someone else, the cat wouldn't even care. It'd be like, yeah, as long as they have food, I don't care.
Birds are very intelligent.
I could be wrong, John, right?
Just a lesson for the morning show. All Joe has to do now is say the word cat, and emails start pouring in about how Joe hates cats.
I don't hate cats!
I know.
I don't hate cats.
But if he even says the word cat the email, the talkback call.
I have no interest in cats. That's a better way of saying it. I don't want them in my life. I don't need them. I'm not a cat guy.
See, I grew up allergic to cats.
Okay.
I have never had a cat.
Yeah.
So... My boyfriend has a cat and a dog.
Do you think if he never came back and said you had to take care of the cats, would they really mind?
Well, the cat can't be around the birds. So that
that'd be a bad combination.
That's a bit of an
issue.
If
you visited his cats and left the birds home and fed them and changed their kitty litter, they wouldn't care. They'd be like, oh, yeah, so what? Someone else.
For some reason, the cat loves me, though.
The cat loves her, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it loves your boyfriend, too.
Yeah.
They'll take anyone.
They will take anyone.
That's my point. If I showed up, they would take me. Because cats are great. Okay, here we go.
All right, Nikki, pick a question.
Nikki, so wait. Now, why are you going right on the top?
I thought that was the only way to go.
Dig deep.
You can dig deep.
There's bundled up questions. There's some little thin ones. There's some strips. There's all varieties in there for you to just go at the top and say, oh, yeah, I don't know.
It seems like there's a lot of questions.
We have to go through these things.
You do what you want to do.
All right.
Just don't pull a cat out of that hat, all right?
Maybe pre-read before the bell.
Yeah, you want a pre-read. I like how you're like... you're
guiding her through.
Yes. Because she's not familiar, folks, with what's happening now.
No.
So I want everyone to know that. No, she has a look of, I can't believe this is happening on her face. John, is this
bad?
No,
it can be random. It can be weird. And it can be all that.
Yeah,
if it's offensive, reel in.
Yeah. We don't want to have to edit this.
Do I read the name of the person?
Sure. That's up to you.
Yeah.
This is from Ernest Bilodas.
Okay.
He has two questions.
Two questions. Here we go.
Which is more economical and which is better for the environment? I'm going to bring a pot of water to a boil. If I put cold water on, it takes longer to heat and I use more gas. If I run the tap till it gets hot, I waste water, but it boils faster. Which is best?
See, Nikki, now do you see how...
Don't you love the look at her face?
Yeah, I know. She's like,
what is this?
And I'm thinking, like, my head is just spinning. It's still kind
of... So sometimes we have to, like, regroup on what we're talking about. So the question is, do you just fill the pot quickly with cold water and turn the stove on? Or wait for the water to warm up, which is better for the environment?
All right, so if any of you guys want to comment on this before me, I don't want to be bossy here, but I have a deep story on this.
I want your deep story.
I would rather hear
Let's
your
let's
deep
defer
story.
To him, Nikki.
Let's
because my
you.
Wife does this and my daughter does this, and I flip out on them every time.
Oh, this is going
to
be good.
They heat the pot with hot water to boil like pasta.
Okay.
And I'm like, please don't do that. Not because of energy waste. I said, when you put hot water in this, hot water dissolves more minerals. We have a well where we live.
Oh, okay.
So you're pulling more minerals from the pipes in our basement. Could be solder. There could be old solder. My house is, pre-1970s, most of it. So you're putting dissolved minerals, maybe lead from the solder and other things, in that hot water.
Uh-huh.
I said, you do the opposite. I said, put the cold on and let it run for a good 3-4 minutes, then fill your pot of cold water. Because okay. Now there's no dissolved minerals in it, and then heat it on the stove. But they don't want to wait, and they always put hot water in first. It just adds more dissolved minerals to the water, and you don't want that in case you have something in your pipe you don't want in your pasta.
I was on a story with a guy that does water testing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We were at a house and he was testing water.
He said,
always use cold water to cook.
Okay.
His reasoning was, and it doesn't matter whether it's similar.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if there's a well or city water. He said, if you're using water, the hot water, that water has gone into the hot water tank.
Yes, and
it can sit in the hot water
tank. It's dissolving.
It's going through a lot more of a system.
Well, that's exactly what
I just kind of stuff. The cold water's coming right out.
Right out.
Okay.
And always let it run first. Let it wait a minute or two before you fill up your pot of water before you put it on the stove. Hot water dissolves more minerals faster, so you want it to be cold, and you want to let it go for 2-3 minutes.
And I don't think it makes that much of a difference when you're heated on the stove, when you put cold, how long it's going to take to boil.
No.
A little bit, but it's...
Good to know.
And the funny part is, too, now, I don't know what they're doing behind my back. I'll come home from a bike ride or work, and there's pasta made, and I never thought, should I not eat this? They probably didn't use... So, whatever. I forget about it after. But.
So, those are the kind of questions we get in front of.
Should we pick another one?
Well, do you have another question there?
Oh, yeah,
no,
sure.
That was it.
Oh, okay.
Sure,
right,
but it's not your turn anymore.
Oh!
Nikki, you tried to take my turn.
So I only get one.
Oh, we'll get back to you.
We're going to do 2 or 3 laps.
Okay.
Yeah, I hardly ever dig, and I dug this time.
We're already 22 minutes in.
Doesn't this go fast?
Yeah.
It does.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh, that's a wrinkle. That's an oldie.
Oh, boy.
I've been getting complaints, John, that we're putting... questions in multiple times, and that's my fault. Because sometimes I print them out and I forget if I put them in or not. Or sometimes we read them, you don't like them, we put them in even though we read part of them. You don't like
this one. We did do this one before.
Yo, go give me it, give me it. Let's get rid of that thing. Get rid of that thing.
All right, sorry that took a while, but it was a long one.
You didn't say what you do, though. Do you preheat your...
Okay, here we go.
I usually use cold water, too.
Smart. Keep doing that.
What is your favorite type of pickles? I am a big dill guy myself, but I love spicy dill pickles, too. Plus, who in the room would win a pickle-eating contest?
All right, so, Nikki, you're our guest. You got to go first, and then we'll...
Pick a pickle.
Dill pickles all the way. I don't eat those bread and butter things.
I don't like bread and butter either.
I hate the bread and butters.
Do you like pickles?
I like pickles.
Okay.
Yeah, but I hate cucumbers. Go figure.
You don't like cucumbers?
No,
I love cucumbers.
Can't eat a cucumber.
Huh.
Now, do you have what do I mean by favorite? Brand or type or what?
I think he means type, because there's what? There's dill, butter,
bread and butter.
Why would there even be a bread and butter?
Sweet
or gross?
I don't like those bread and butters.
The kids last week at Sheets got what they thought was just dill. It was like a pack of pickles, and it was spicy dill. He asked about that. Those are good.
Yeah, I can handle the spice.
They're good.
Now, do you guys prefer the chipped pickles cut up, or do you like to just eat the whole pickle? Because I like the whole pickles.
I like the whole pickle.
Yeah.
I like the chipped ones.
You like?
Yeah.
And they have to be crunchy.
Yes.
Can't be soggy pickles.
Yes.
And do you like when they're ruffled and ribbed, or do you just like a straight cut?
I like them all.
No, do you know what I mean? They ripple them sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way.
Either way.
How about those spears? Spears versus...
I like the spears.
You like the spears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's off to a pretty random start.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say, if it were up to me, I would like spears of a dill pickle.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with, too.
That's what I'm going with, too.
That's number one.
We have consensus.
What is the bird on the dill pickle? Since we're doing... You're the bird expert.
The birds don't eat pickles, do they?
Isn't there a pickle on the one of the brands? Why am I picturing a bird? I think that's one of the spokespeople for the pickle.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I think it is.
Fawson has like a bird.
It's a bird.
It?
Yeah.
And I think it's one of your birds. It might be sugar. It looks like sugar on the pickle.
I think you're right.
And what does that have to do with pickles? A bird makes no sense at all.
No sense.
So there, we're solving problems, right, baby? All right, pickle time.
I think we're off to a good start, don't
I? Think we're off.
Yeah.
This one looks small, old. See what I mean? This is an example of I don't know how they. Some of these go back years.
I'm gonna collect the ones we did already.
Yeah, so get them out of here. Get them far away. Ooh, this is like short. Ooh, what became? Did we have this one before? Of these WNEP people: Frank Andrews, Marisa Burke, Mark Sowers, Joe Zone, Jay Christopher, Charlotte McBride.
I don't think we've had that one.
Do we want to go through
Let's
the list?
Let's go through the list.
All right, so Frank Andrews, retired.
He's retired now, right?
He left us.
Is he still at WILK? Or is
he's retired. He totally retired. But this guy, do you remember Frank Andrews?
No.
So this guy was an icon here, news director, main anchor. And he left us for another station, I'd say, in early, mid-2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he just retired. He's got to be well into his 60s. Maybe even higher, but I'm not too sure about that. Marisa Burke.
She is a news director for a group of television stations around the country.
Yes.
She's part of a corporate group that she's, I believe she's the news director or a news consultant or something like that. But she, that's what she does.
And she kind of retired and then I think then went back
and
in.
And went back into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so. Yes. Mark Sowers, the last I heard on him, does he have his own business now? I think he's a meteorologist here in the 90s and early 2000s. Was he here when you were here?
He was the webmaster.
Yeah, so
he had just left. He was still filling in on weather, but he was doing the web. He was a meteorologist.
Okay. Mark Sowers is one of those guys. He's very knowledgeable and he's very scientific. He's like a computer guy and a math guy. So he still is involved in something related to that, but I don't know the latest that Mark Sowers. Joe Zone, this guy was an iconic sports caster here at WNEP in the 70s and 80s. Where is he now? You know Joe Zone?
I know the name.
Where is he, John?
He was in Connecticut for a while.
I think so.
Just a little sidebar story of Joe Zone.
How old is Joe Zone?
He might be retired now, too.
Okay.
So when I was interning in college at a TV station in Syracuse, New York, Joe was the sports director at that station.
No. And you knew nothing yet.
I had no knowledge of WNEP or anything, so I started here, and he was a legend here. Ah. And everyone talked about Joe Zone, and I was like, oh my gosh. I worked with him in Syracuse, and he was quite the character.
I was going to say, was he a character?
He was a character, yeah.
He used to dress up when he would do sports casts here in the 70s and 80s as a cheerleader, for example, a female cheerleader with the dress and skirt, whatever that thing is called. And he did a lot of wild stuff. Very charismatic.
He was on Pennsylvania Outdoor Life, too.
Very charismatic dude. One of my inspirations, I'll even say, because I was a kid watching him when I was growing up. Jay Christopher.
He's retired, obviously, but I don't know what else he's doing. I know people have talked to him recently.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I remember hearing some things, but we don't know, so I better not say. Yeah. Charlotte McBride, is she still with our parent company, Tegna?
No.
She's not.
She left here and went to be an anchor in Washington, D.C.
Tegna Company.
The same company that we're in. She now anchors the national morning show on Newsmax.
What?
TV.
What?
Yes. What? Out of New York City.
See the things you learn.
Yeah. So yeah, she's on.
She also gets up early.
Yeah, so she commutes. She still lives in northeastern PA, and she commutes
she
to New York
does.
City.
Get out of here
for that job.
I did not know. I'm learning too. Mm-hmm. But she's a morning person. She learned the secret to life.
She did.
Yeah. And I've talked to her. She has learned. She's really liking it.
All right, sure. There was we're a back good to
update.
You.
All right.
We're back to you. Yeah, we're doing all right here.
Right.
Now, so let's keep the bell handy because I feel like.
Are you getting nervous?
I'm getting nervous for her. I feel like she's still. It's almost like. It's like me learning to swim when I was 9. She's not quite sure of what's happening yet.
This is a good one.
Okay.
But I have to think about it. What is your biggest guilty pleasure?
Oh.
From Travis, former NEPA.
Oh, Travis is a frequent flyer.
Wait, Nikki, would you look over there at that bag in the corner? Do you see that?
Yeah.
They're all of Travis's questions.
Oh, gosh.
He's got good ones, though, so he is a regular.
I sprinkle them in occasionally because he has overloaded.
Yes. All right, so what was the question again?
What is guilty your biggest pleasure. Guilty pleasure?
So does that? It usually applies to food.
Well, a lot of times.
It could be anything.
My biggest food guilty pleasure is I probably go to McDonald's once a week.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Burgers, French fries.
French fries, McDonald's fries. It's a guilty pleasure.
That's a good one, though.
That's a good one, because yeah. if I had no health concern or weight concern, I can live my entire life at McDonald's.
I would live your whole life.
I would go there. There's nothing better to me than a cheeseburger and French fries.
It's so good.
I can eat that every hour my whole life.
It's funny because I went a portion of my life trying to avoid fast food.
Yeah.
And then I had kids.
Oh. They love that stuff.
McDonald's and stuff all the time. And sometimes I'm like, all right, because I like it too. You know? McDonald's, Wendy's, all that.
It is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think anyone who denies liking that is just trying to be too.
So that's definitely a guilty pleasure.
It's just great. It's great.
And sometimes, well, reality TV, certain kinds of.
Like what?
There's this one that I just started watching. It's called The Farmer Wants a Wife. I know.
You know of this?
No, but I just
really
love the name.
It's kind of cute, but I started watching it the one day. My aunt was telling me about it, and I'm like, just like four episodes later, I'm hooked.
That's funny.
The farmer wants a wife.
John, I don't think you have any guilty pleasures. You're like the perfect human being.
I don't know if I'm perfect. I'm just trying to think of a guilty pleasure. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not some kind of lush, but the one thing that I'd love to cut back on is in the summer, a beer tastes really good.
Oh, I don't know. Is that a guilty pleasure?
I don't know, but like this, the past week, I've had a beer every night, and they taste good, and maybe that's a guilty pleasure.
It's okay.
I'd like to cut back on but it's not multiple beers, but a beer before bed.
What about like sometime like because you're like me, you always have to be outside. Do you have, if you're in the house and you're watching something maybe on TV or doing something that you feel like this is sad?
Oh yeah. So
what would that be?
So this is something that Joe and I share in common that you'll start to realize working with us is that I get so overwhelmed with guilt. If I do anything inside on a day that's nice.
This is my whole life.
Oh.
And so this time of year, I'm starting to get destroyed by, I gotta get outside.
I gotta get outside.
And I love it, and I'm not complaining.
Can't stay inside on a sunny day. It's impossible for me.
I can't do it.
Okay.
So I'm not getting anything done inside. Because I just have to be outside. And it's funny, this time of year, the kids are like, Dad, can we just watch TV already? Because I'm making them go outside and do stuff and everything. So if I do on a day sit and watch TV and it's nice out, I feel really guilty.
So what is it though? What is it?
I don't know.
Oh, you just go through the channels?
Just whatever, yeah.
Okay.
It's nothing specific.
Yeah, we both have that same problem.
Yeah.
I can't. Whenever I watch any TV, I consider it a guilty pleasure because I feel like I shouldn't be doing that. And I don't know why I think that way. I feel like you are a horrible failure of a human being. How dare you watch TV? And I'm not saying that's right, but that's the way my brain works.
Sometimes other people make me feel that way.
So they'll guilt you. It's a sunny 70-degree day. Nikki, what are you doing? You're like, I'm watching a little show. You loser. That kind of thing?
No, not even when it's nice outside. Like, I don't want to call her out, but sometimes my sister will say, oh, you're watching TV again?
Oh! John, you hear that again at the end. There's the judge.
Again, the judge.
I love watching TV. I don't watch TV every day, but, you know, I have my shows, you know, my Law & Order shows. But it's not like an everyday thing.
Okay.
But
lots of people watch TV. I mean, that's why we're a business. People watch a lot of TV.
Although I don't feel bad about myself if I'm watching something good on TV. Like news or some science show.
Farmer Wants a Wife.
I guess in the past,
I'd feel guilty.
In the past, I always watched TV in the evening, so it'd be getting dark anyways, and I wouldn't feel bad about it.
With my guilt situation
with the nice weather. Now, in the summer, I just don't watch much TV at all. Wintertime, if it's a cold day, I'll stream something on a winter afternoon and not feel bad about it at all.
Well, now that you bring this up, you know what a big guilty pleasure of TV for me is? TMZ and Harvey Levin.
Mm.
You do.
I can't. If that's on, I have to watch it. The way they do it and these... Does he still have that big drink when he's up at the counter and everyone's there? It's just a good show. It's just...
I've never even watched it.
And I'm not for gossip or anything.
Yeah.
But I love...
I wouldn't expect you to be a TMZ guy. I love the TMZ stuff.
Yeah. That and chocolate. Whose turn?
My turn.
Okay. I almost picked for your turn. You see that?
That was a good question.
The questions are awesome. We're only going to do maybe one more round because we're already 35 minutes into this thing. John, I'm getting the bell ring. I feel like this is going to be a horrible question.
Nope. We're on a kick, though.
Okay.
This is Barb from Bradford County. Barb wants to know, what's your favorite milk flavor?
wait a minute, there's only two or three anyway.
White milk, chocolate milk. She says yucky strawberry milk. And what percentage do you drink?
Oh, 2%, 1%,
or skim?
This is good. This is good.
All right, so I'll go first. I read the question. So,
this
Barb.
This is good.
My favorite is what she calls yucky strawberry milk.
I love strawberry milk.
I love strawberry milk.
Like the rabbit, you?
We live near Hillside Farms in Luzerne County. They make their own milk, and they make strawberry milk there. And that is one of my guilty pleasures.
Well, John, educate me. Because I only know strawberry milk as you.
No, other places make strawberry milk.
Oh, they do?
So this farm makes their own milk, and they make their own chocolate and make their own strawberry.
I didn't even know that. Did you know that?
And the strawberry milk.
You go to a supermarket, and there's strawberry milk on the shelf.
I don't know if other brands do it, but at their farm store, you buy that milk.
Oh, okay. Do you like Yoo-hoo then?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I don't like chocolate milk that much.
Okay.
If it comes to drinking milk, like I have cereal every morning, 2%. Milk.
I don't drink milk.
At all.
I don't like it. It grosses me out.
Were you that way as a kid?
No, I drank it as a kid. I don't know what happened, what changed, when it changed. I don't like it at all. I actually have a funny story. Chris Keating is the same way, former WNEP personality. And there was an instance on Gojo. I guess you made him chug milk.
He's not a milk guy?
No, he hates it.
That's funny.
And I guess you made him chug milk one day.
Why didn't he tell me? I didn't make him do anything.
I don't remember, but
just suggestions.
Just fun suggestions.
It was a strong suggestion, I guess. But he was not feeling good after that.
That's something. So you don't drink any milk at all?
Almond milk or something?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about any of
those? None of those.
Calcium supplements.
Okay.
But now, so without getting too nosy, is there a biological intolerance to it, or you just choose
to
not?
There's not. It grosses me out.
It's an example, as I always say, of social conditioning. I think that the fact that I drink milk, but only because our whole life is what you do. You drink milk.
Yes.
But if there were no milk ever existing on the planet, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden someone said today, we're going to get that dirty animal on the hill with the mucus and the flies around it, and we're going to milk it, and then you're going to drink that stuff. I'd be like, no, that is gross. No one would do it. But because it's built into our culture, you just think it's normal.
You just do it.
Hmm.
And do you have a preference? Do you skim?
So I told you guys I'm a very basic eater,
yes.
And I have hardly any taste sensors, my wife says. Like, I can't tell good tomato sauce from bad tomato sauce. Everything's bland, she mm-hmm. said, in my life. So I'm 1%. Is it 2% or 1%?
There is a 1%.
Yeah, so I take the least amount of fat. 1% is fine with me because it tastes just as good as the whole milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter started getting me into these replacements, Silk, the almond.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife's like, you're not going to like that. It doesn't taste like milk. I'm like, let me try it. Tastes just like milk. So I don't even need milk anymore. Those almond milks are just fine. I make cereal out of them. I make mashed potatoes out of them. I don't know if you're supposed to, but it's fine to me. It tastes just like milk.
See, I notice the difference, and I like real milk better.
You notice it to a point where
I notice
like,
the difference where I now sometimes if it's in the fridge and we don't have any more milk left, I'll use it because Rennie has almond milk sometimes in the fridge. But I prefer regular milk. So there's that.
There's that. The milk topic is interesting. Proves my point. Could you imagine instead of getting milk from cows, what if we, don't get weird on me, but this is just a thought experiment. What if we did this with human milk? We'd all be grossed out. We'd be like, I'm not drinking human milk from some stranger who I never met.
Yeah.
But yet we'll drink it from another animal?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's all the different things we eat and someone figuring out a long, long time ago that you could consume these things.
Yeah.
And then it just became a thing.
And then it becomes a thing. So I drink milk, yet I admit it's disgusting. And I love cheese, and I love...
Yep.
I love cheese,
so
though,
you like
and I
dairy
love
products.
Ice cream, and I love...
It's just not the milk itself.
And I'll drink milkshakes, but I just don't like...
Milkshakes, ice cream, yeah. To the farmers out there, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
You make a great product, I'm just saying.
Yeah. We love dairy products.
We're all social conditioning. And if we were brought up eating ants and grasshoppers...
We'd just do it.
We would think that's delicious, too.
Exactly.
All right, you're up, Joe.
All right, could this be the last one? After me, then Nikki's going to pick the last one.
All right.
Because you started it, and you're going to end it, baby.
Yay!
This question, this is going to be right at you. I'm going to look you in the eye and ask you. Hey, guys, I went to the grocery store today. And I'm looking and I notice to myself, why are there so many different kinds of apples? But basically, other fruits only have one kind. This is Travis again.
So,
Travis.
What, give us some granny apples. We have green apples.
Macintosh.
Yeah. But no one's having a variety of bananas or pears or maybe some grapes.
I gotta say, Travis brings up some really interesting things to think about.
Why haven't we diversified other fruits? Why the apple?
And a lot of what's happened with the apples is farmers working
to create
these different brands.
Yeah.
Not brands. What are they called? Like
varieties,
yeah.
And we know that there's different varieties of blueberries and other things, but for some reason, apples command the most attention.
And you go to the grocery store, there's a massive display with all these different apples.
Right. Yeah.
And it's almost overwhelming.
Right.
It is.
And I know someone out there saying, well, they do the same thing to strawberries and bananas, but they really don't. Yeah, hardly at all.
I can't tell a difference with the strawberries and stuff.
No. What's your favorite apple? You didn't tell us.
I like the Granny Smith, the green one. I guess
even
it's
the name
Smith.
Is ridiculous. Granny
are ridiculous. Honeycrisp is my go-to.
See, the names.
Maybe it's that. Is that the green one?
They're not green. Granny Smith are the green ones.
The apple names even bother
they
me.
They are. Honeycrisp. It doesn't taste like
they're
honey.
They're trying
at all.
To be like quaint and cute and funny and country or something. Just.
And then like Gala and Empire and.
There are a lot of apples.
They almost need a flow chart to show you what everything tastes like and all that kind of stuff.
Nikki, finish us off. This is it. We are, how many minutes in?
Travis, but we're hoping it's not another Travis question.
Come on, Travis. I told you I diluted him. Look at all of those questions. Uh-oh. There you go.
You better read it. Pick another one.
White John, do we want to give her that power? There's nothing wrong with that question, is there?
It's probably better to avoid. I understand.
Should we put it back?
We'll put it back in because someone else might read it.
Another Travis question.
Okay. Maybe we shouldn't even say it anymore because we don't
want to. We'll just read it.
If it says Travis, we'll just read it.
All right, Joe. This one is probably for you. How do they come up with the percent chance of rain? I see a 31% chance of rain. How do they figure that out and what does it mean?
Ooh, I love this question because I wonder this too.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if it's like any percentage. A lot of people, because you can interpret it in different ways. If you broke this table up into 10 different sections, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is our viewing area. And you said that 10% of that, or one section of it, that's about the chance of a shower today, a 10% chance. So when we say scattered showers, you have about a 10% chance. That's how scattered they're going to be across that area.
So
everyone in that area has that chance.
You're saying our viewing area, it's kind of the area as a whole, about 10%.
Well, I'm saying that's one way of interpreting.
Yeah.
Everyone in that space has a 10% chance of getting a shower, but because we know it's only going to cover about 10% of the area. But you over there, you might have that chance. We don't know where the shower is going to land in that space. If they're going to cover half the table with showers, 50% chance. Or it's the same thing if you had this bag here with 10 questions in it, and I said 7 of them are colored red papers. So you have a 70% chance of pulling out a red piece of paper, higher percentage. So that's how the shower thing works. We don't use percentages generally here at WNEP because I don't know, it's a little confusing.
I think it can be confusing too because I think some people take it as that's the percentage of the day it might rain.
Yeah, it's not.
And that's not it, right?
No. And it's the same thing. If I said a 100% chance, everyone on this grid is going to have showers today.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get everybody.
100%. Is that kind of the choice of meteorologists? Because the apps love the percent
chance. The apps love that because they're decoding computer model data and the apps just spit it out, whatever the model.
Because when you look at how they do their little hourly thing, they love this percent chance of rain is on everything.
But it is definitely confusing.
Yeah.
Just like right now, Nikki has a 0% chance of picking another question because we're not going to allow it.
How was this, Nikki? Did you like it?
It was fun. I liked it.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
You're going to be a semi-regular.
I was going to say,
because as the morning team,
shift, you're going to be part of this quite a bit.
Yay!
Yay! And Nikki, I have good news for you. As of recording this, it's 11:27 a.m. You have the entire afternoon to yourself.
I do.
And if you were a 9 to 5 or 6, or guess what? Eat, go to bed, do it again the next day.
My day would just be getting started.
And right now, your bosses would be telling you, Nikki, we're going to need you to do this and this and this. And now, you're walking out of here and going home.
The only downside is, Nikki, I'm sorry to tell you, would you just close your eyes for 1 second?
Don't do it towards your own.
2:30 this morning. Are you ready? Close your eyes.
I can't.
The worst thing ever. But only for 5 minutes.
Only for 5 minutes.
See you next time. Get your questions in to brownbag@wnep.com.
Wake up. Travis.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything, Mr. Curiosity. About.